The following message was given at Trinity Bible Church in Powell, Wyoming.
Our Father in heaven, before we hear the preaching of the word, we ask that you would illumine the text for us, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would open up our eyes and open up our ears, that we would have receptive hearts to receive your word, that we would not be mere hearers of your word, but doers of it, that by the power of your Spirit, you would work in us in such a way that we embrace your word and we live in light of it. So pour your blessing upon us now by the power of your Spirit. For Christ's sake, we pray. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, I invite you to open them to Proverbs chapter 2. For the afternoon service, we've been going through Proverbs 2. We've been going through the book of Proverbs, and today we've arrived at Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, the entire chapter today. Let's not give our attention to God speaking to us in his holy and inspired word. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight, raise your voice for understanding, you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, and watching over the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity in every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil men, from men of perverted speech. Forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil. Men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death, and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. Grass withers and the flower fades. The word of our God endures forever. May God now be pleased to add his blessing to the preaching of his word. Well, if you wanted to leave your children with just one thing, what would that be? Perhaps it's an inheritance where they would be provided for the rest of their life. Perhaps it's a particular skill where they could provide for themselves for the rest of their life. Typically, it's things that we want to instill in them that we ourselves love: hunting, drama, poetry, shooting, horseback riding, so forth and so on. Well, here in Proverbs 2, we see that the one thing that the father wants to leave his son is wisdom. In this chapter, he is trying to convince him of his need to get wisdom by showing him the treasure and benefits of it. And so what we're going to look at today are three major benefits of wisdom. The first is this: its source. where does wisdom come from? Well, it's beneficial because it comes from God, from His Word. The end of chapter 1, if you remember, should really be leaving us wanting wisdom. If you remember from last week that left a severe warning to those who reject wisdom, eternal judgment, a horrifying reality that should leave us shaking in our boots and asking, well then, where do I get this wisdom? And the Father now turns to tell His Son where He can obtain it. Verse 1, He says, "My Son, if you receive My words and treasure up My commandments with you." So wisdom comes through hearing this Father's words here. Now, in a sense, this does apply to us paying attention to the faithful things that parents have taught. We would certainly do well to hear what they have to say, those who care for us, rather than the world. However, ultimately, this is a call to hear the word of our Father in heaven. Because if you remember, and I've brought this up before, Hebrews chapter 12, it takes Proverbs, quotes Proverbs, and applies it directly to us and says that this is our Father in heaven speaking to us, New Testament believers even, as His sons. This is because what we are reading is ultimately the Word of God here in Proverbs. And so how we get wisdom then is by treasuring the Word of God. That is to say, the Scriptures. It is as Psalm 119 says, to hide His Word in our heart. Or as 1 Peter 2 says, to crave the pure milk of the Word. And this leads to diligently hearing it, to going to it. Verse 2, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Now, treasuring the Word looks like inclining our ears and our hearts to it, to believe it as the authoritative Word of God and treat it as such. And so we come under it because we see its great value, like Mary who sat at Jesus' feet listening to His Word while Martha was rather busy. And sometimes I can't help to think that there's a lot of churches and ministries that appeal to the Marthas out there. Yes, we're doing all these things for the Lord, but what gets neglected is sitting at His Word, where His Word reigns supreme. That's the centerpiece, being taught it. But we, like Mary, if we are to get wisdom, are to diligently read and study the Word, and especially hearing the Word on the Lord's Day through the ministry of the Word, and to meditate on it day and night. So we gain wisdom through the means of the Word of God. And we also gain wisdom through the means of prayer. Verses 3 through 5. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. This is essentially saying we get wisdom through means of prayer. And this calling out and raising our voice means that we truly desire it when we pray. It's not just a religious exercise. And we truly desire it like we would hidden treasure or great wealth. You know, back in the gold rush, people left for livelihoods and they risked their lives to go out west to live in a tent. Risk their life to perhaps find some gold. I can't help but think of what I and some of us do, what we'll do to find an elk. Go out in winter, be cold, be wet, be miserable, be tired, be hungry, all to get a big game. Well, this should be our attitude towards wisdom. Diligently utilizing the means of grace, the Word, and prayer to gain wisdom from God. And the good news is that God is willing and gracious to give wisdom. Verses 6 through 7. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stirs up sound wisdom for the upright. And this statement is worth stopping and pausing, reflecting on. The Lord gives wisdom. What kind of good and gracious God is this? That He would give wisdom. And He gives wisdom to fools. Because fools lack what? Wisdom. And so He's giving wisdom to fools. And we certainly do not deserve it. God is certainly not obligated to give fools anything but His judgment. But our God is a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And He gives wisdom and He delights to. In fact, James 1:5 says that the Lord gives wisdom to all who ask generously, without reproach. He doesn't say, well, you fool, you should have thought about that before you got into the situation you got yourself into. No, He doesn't reproach. Rather, He pours out wisdom. He does it generously. It's a free gift to all who ask Him. There are no strings attached, no works of righteousness required, no promises or payments given to God, or that if I give this to you, will you really use it to the best of your ability? No, the Lord pours out wisdom. If you lack wisdom, God will not reproach you if you ask for it. And Proverbs 2:7 says that He stores up. Oh, this richness is storing up wisdom for their upright, the upright being those who continuously seek it from Him. And out of all things that He gives, the good gifts in this world, this is one of the most precious gifts. And this should be at the top of our list, the things that we desire and ask God for. The source, of course, of this wisdom is God. The Lord gives wisdom. Verse 6. And also in verse 6 it says, from God's mouth, that is His word, comes wisdom. So what a benefit wisdom is that it comes from God Himself through the means of His word and prayer. A second major benefit of wisdom is that it's a shield. Look at the second half of verse 7. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. So God is a shield to those who walk in integrity. That is those who have integrity because they asked God for wisdom and He gave it. The wisdom that God gives is like a shield. A shield back then is something that would protect against the attacks of the enemy. Something very important in battle and war. Well, this is what wisdom does. It guards and protects against spiritual enemies. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Verses 8 and 9 say that wisdom will guard our path because it will give us understanding. We will truly understand what righteousness is, justice, equity, and every good path. And we won't merely understand it abstractly, but we will know how it applies to each situation. We'll be able to see through the world's manipulation and the evil enticements of this world in our own deceitful heart, which often frames sin as a good thing. And as a result, this wisdom from God will also deliver us from the enticements and traps of evil persons. In verses 12 through 15, it talks about being delivered from evil men. And in verses 16 through 19, it talks about being delivered from evil women. And in this, we see a pattern here of speech, forsaking, paths. So verse 12, men of perverted speech. They speak of evil and ungodly things in a positive manner. They're perverse. It flows out of their heart because they delight in evil. And then verse 16, the forbidden woman, that is a foreign or strange woman. She's an outsider to the covenant of marriage. The adulteress with her smooth words. The speech. And we'll see this come up quite a bit in the book of Proverbs, that an adulteress has these smooth words. She is a flatterer. She plays on a man's desire to be affirmed in his ego. And this is especially a temptation in situations where a man is facing criticism at home, and then he goes to work and his secretary is affirming to him. Now, that's absolutely no excuse for adultery. There's never an excuse for adultery, but it's a common temptation that is faced in our day. And so if you're in such a position, that's something you need to be aware of. Then we see the word forsake used to describe their behavior. Verse 13, men who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. They forsake that path. They leave it. They abandon it. They turn from it in order to walk in an evil manner. And then verse 14 adds something to these men that it doesn't explicitly mention about the evil woman. Their desire. It says they rejoice in doing evil. They delight in its perverseness. If any of you have ever been around locker room talk, as it's so called, men who just make very crude jokes, they delight in how perverse it is. They take pleasure in evil. Evil men sin because they enjoy it. We sin because we find some pleasure in it. As we'll see in the book of Proverbs, sin comes from the heart, the desires or delights of the inner man. And Jesus also declared this in the Gospels, that from within, from the heart, come all sorts of evils. The reason we sin is because our hearts wanted it all along. This reveals the need for God's grace to change the heart, which comes with wisdom that leads to the fear of the Lord. Now, we also see the word forsake mentioned of the evil woman. Verse 17, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. Her evil is seen as in that she forsakes, she abandons, she sets aside the covenant that she made with God and the companion of her youth. One's character is revealed by how he or she treats their friends. And she forsakes the companion, the friend of her youth. She does that to the friend of her youth. How much more will she abandon the next guy after that? But worse than this is the fact that she forgets the covenant of her God. This is the marriage covenant that she made in the presence of God. And she has forsaken that. She has abandoned that. She forgot it, not in the sense of it slipped her mind, but that she intentionally ignores it. And while it has become more acceptable in our day to break this covenant, it makes it no less egregious to do so. And then their paths are mentioned. In verse 15, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Path is one of the idioms that the Bible uses to describe our habits, the things we do over and over and over again that describe our character, kind of like the places in the house where the carpet's worn down because that's the path that's taken over and over again, or when you go out to the mountains and you see the game trails, the paths that animals take over and over again describe their habits. Well, that is something that the Bible uses to describe our character, our habits. Well, these men's paths are crooked and devious, a figurative way of saying that they are not straight and narrow. They deviate from the way that they should go. And then the adulterous woman's path is described in more vivid and haunting detail, like a scene from a horror movie, and that would probably make this young man's eyes go wide. The father describes her house as sinking down to death and a pathway to the departed, to Sheol, the underworld, where the dead go. I've seen videos, I'm not sure if you've seen these videos, of houses that are about to fall into rushing water because of a flood or maybe a volcano. I don't think anyone would want to go into the house, that house at that time. Yeah, it's about ready to sink into a rushing water or lava flow. And I don't think anyone would even want to be near it. let alone be in it. But that's what the Father is saying here. You go to the adulterous woman, it's like stepping into a house that's about ready to sink down into a pit, down into death, even. These are haunting details, vivid imagery. And this is what's needed. The Father's giving His Son the proper lenses through which to view this, because the world is going to say, and even our deceitful hearts, it's good, it's pleasurable. Think about all the pleasure you're going to get by doing this. When we put on the lens that the Word of God is providing us here and see these paths through those lens, we then see this for what it truly is. It's a sinking house down into the pit of death. And verse 19 mentions that none who go to her return again or regain the path of life. This is generally true apart from the grace of God, but we don't want to presume upon His grace. What He's saying here is that sin is really ensnaring and enslaving. I think we have a tendency to think, well, I can nibble on it just a little bit, or just get a little bit here just to kind of scratch an itch. You know, just take a little hit and indulge just a little bit and I'll be fine. We say, I don't want to dive all in, but I'll just nibble a little bit around the edges and stop, and no one will know. No one will be harmed. But that is like putting a piece of your favorite dessert in front of you and saying, I'll just take a bite. Yeah, right. But that's not going to happen. And even if you could, it may be possible to do that with food. Much stronger than the desire for food is the desire for sin within. We cannot think that we can indulge just a little bit without becoming entangled. But wisdom is a shield that will guard us and deliver us from these paths, that will direct us away from taking them. Third major benefit of wisdom. So we've seen first its source, second it's a shield. Third major benefit of wisdom is its security. Kind of related to shield, but shield is more focused on short term. Security is focused more on the long term here. Verses 20 through 22. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. So wisdom will give us discernment to see the evil and destructive nature of these crooked paths of evil men and evil women. We will walk in the way of the good and keep or stay on the path of the righteous. And this brings with it great security, which is expressed in the words of verse 21. The upright will inhabit the land and remain in it, versus the wicked who are rooted out of it, verse 22. And we have to understand Old Covenant language in order to understand what is meant by this. Inhabiting and remaining in the promised land was their promised blessing in the Old Covenant. In the Old Covenant, God said, if you obey, if you do this, you will live long in the land. It was their covenant. It was their promised reward that they would find rest with God upon the fulfillment of their obedient work. However, if they were disobedient and walked in wickedness and foolishness, then they would be cast out of the land, as verse 22 indicates. So all they had to do was be obedient, which required wisdom, in order to remain in the promised land. Do this, and you will live long in the land. How did that go for them? Not too well. They were thrust out of their land and exiled into Babylon because they did not walk in wisdom in the ways of the Lord. They ignored the words of God. They forsook their God and their covenant with Him, and they left the good path to walk in crooked paths. Therefore, they did not dwell securely in the land, but were thrust out of it. What does this show us? This shows us the greatness of our sin and misery. That happened to Israel, and this was recorded for us to show one grand picture, one grand example of the greatness of our sin and misery. Because, beloved, we have not walked perfectly in the paths of wisdom. We have not walked perfectly in the paths of righteousness. We have even forsaken those paths. So is there hope for us? And the answer is yes. This is why God sent forth His Son, the Lord Jesus, wisdom incarnate. He perfectly walked in all the ways of wisdom and in the fear of the Lord. He was not led astray from the words of not only wicked men, but the most wicked angel of all, Satan, who tempted Jesus with words of wickedness, deceitful speech, saying, "Oh, if you are the Son of God, you should do this. You're hungry, you should eat." But Jesus, in perfect wisdom, saw through that. And He walked perfectly in righteousness. And Jesus never forsook the good path. And He never forsook the covenant He made with His Father, the covenant of redemption that He made with His Father before time began, which included fulfilling the covenant of works God made with Adam, the covenant that Adam forsook, which promised the blessing of eternal life and rest, dwelling securely with God in heaven upon perfectly fulfilling it, and threatened the curse of eternal death upon the breach of it. This Christ, the last Adam, has done. He has fulfilled it completely for us by perfectly applying wisdom throughout His entire life, even under testing in the wilderness, never forsaking those paths, and therefore earning eternal life and the heavenly promised land for all those who trust Him, because we get credit, we who believe, for that righteousness. And He got credit for our foolishness in leaving the path by taking the curse of the covenant upon Himself, by becoming a curse for us, being hung on a tree, bearing the wrath of God for all our sins, for all our perverse words, all our perverse thoughts and desires, all our forsaking the good path and delighting in the evil path. This Christ has taken for us, conquering death, being raised from the dead, being seated at the right hand of the Father, where He intercedes for us, even when we forsake the path. Christ is our wisdom. Christ is our righteousness, who walked perfectly wise for us, so that we, based on His righteousness, may eternally dwell in that heavenly promised land, eternal rest with God. Because of being in Him, united to Him by faith, we walk in wisdom, not for life, but from the life that we have secured in Christ. Amen. Father in heaven, we ask that You would help us to walk in paths of righteousness and wisdom, not so that we can dwell secure in Your presence, but from the security we have in Christ, who has secured us in that eternal heavenly promised land. Indeed, we, as Ephesians 2:6 says, we are now seated with Him in the heavenly places. Our position is secure in Christ, and because of that, we cry out to You for wisdom, O God, because we often act foolishly. So give us wisdom. Give us a deeper knowledge of Christ, so that we may walk in wisdom and glorify You, O God. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
You have been listening to a message from Trinity Bible Church in Powell, Wyoming. To receive more information about Trinity Bible Church or to support the ministry, go to tbcwyoming.com. That is tbcwyoming.com.